God's battle axe. I bet you've been wondering all week what a battle axe is or how it applies to the Word of Christ. Well, let's take a few moments this morning and see what we can say about this. So in our text this morning, God was speaking about Cyrus. Cyrus was the king of Persia. He lived between 576 and 530 BC. And Cyrus was the tool that God used to free the captives from Babylon and eventually mark the end of the Babylonian terror. And God called Cyrus his battle axe, his weapon of war. You see, Cyrus became an instrument of judgment against nations and kingdoms, because Babylon wasn't the only nation or kingdom that Cyrus went after. But Babylon was particularly against what God intended. It had carried its tribes of Israel into captivity. They lived under this captivity of Babylon for over 400 years. There had to be children born that knew nothing else even existed other than the life of a slave. You see, Cyrus had a heart and a vision of a warrior. He knew he was to accomplish a divine mission. We can thank God today that Cyrus existed and that Cyrus listened to God to the point that he was God's battle axe. You see, every warrior goes to battle with the best weapons he can get. He has to have a weapon that he can trust. He has to have a weapon that's effective. He has to have a weapon that's reliable. No warrior ever goes through battle without his own personal weapon, whatever it may be. Look at what the nations are doing today to out-weaponize each other. Way back in the day, we got a nuclear bomb. This is fantastic, the best thing that ever happened. That one bomb was only large enough to destroy one city. Wasn't enough, so they used it again on another city. It brought Japan to its knees and ultimately saved millions and millions of lives if it wasn't for this one little bomb. And as we go forward in history, we find out that that one little bomb wasn't good enough. So somebody that opposed the United States decided they're going to build a bigger one and a better one, and they did. So the United States says, well, we're going to build a bigger one and a better one. So we did. And we ended up having hundreds and thousands of nuclear weapons in our storage when only one or two could destroy the world. But we have this warrior mentality. We need to be the battle axe of war. Look at the smart weapons we have. Look at what just happened this past week. Had the ability to target one car with no collateral damage and wipe out the present day world's biggest mass murderer. Now, I don't want to get into politics about this. I'm just trying to make a point here of where weaponology has come to from the days of Cyrus. Cyrus, his nuclear weapon was an axe or a sword or a group of soldiers under his command. A battle axe is anything in the hands of a warrior that is capable of bringing down the enemy. Here God is saying, with you in his hands, he can bring down any enemy there is. God is saying that we can be his battle axe. Look at what happened in Egypt with Moses. When God talked to Moses and said, I want you to be my battle axe, he didn't use them words, but that's what he was saying, to bring my people out of bondage. And Moses had the audacity to argue with God. He had the audacity to say, I cannot do this. I am incapable and I am unqualified. But what did God say to Moses? See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. What this means is whatever God would have done by himself to Pharaoh, he would do through Moses. Moses was asked to be God's battle axe. And Pharaoh saw just exactly the power of God through Moses. Look at what happened when they thought they were good to go to pass across the Red Sea. You see, people should see the power of God in you because we are children of God. People should see that power in us. We are to be God's battle axe. The world is a battlefield. And it is a place of darkness. But many Christians refuse to be a battle axe for God. I would dare to say that most Christians are afraid to be God's battle axe. You see, we have an opportunity to be God's battle axe. The enemies of God are the archenemies of God's children. Look at what happened when Satan had Jesus out in the wilderness and tempted him with one thing after another, after another, and after another. And Jesus did not bow down to it. So what did Satan do? He gave up on trying to bring Jesus down to his level, and he started in on Jesus and God's children. We are dealing with it yet today. And Satan will be successful, has been successful, if we continue to refuse to be God's battle axe. So what are the characteristics of a good battle axe? Good battle axe must be swift. If you're in battle, you have to be swift. If you're God's battle axe, you need to react immediately and forcefully, spiritually, when you see Satan at work. We need to take this battle axe and be swift with it. How can we be effective? You cannot be effective if the battle axe is not sharp. If you would see close up to this, you'll see where I sharpened this. Because I was butchering a deer. But you see my point? A dull axe doesn't accomplish anything. A dull Christian doesn't accomplish anything. If we are going to be God's battle axe, then we need to be swift, and we need to be sharp, and we need to be strong. And powerful. God expects every Christian to be his battle axe. He will use you to destroy the kingdom of darkness. Now, God is asking for us to be his battle axe. But if you'll notice the word I used just a second ago, when God is asking us to do this, he expects us to say yes. He expects us to be swift. He expects us to be strong. He expects us to be powerful. And he expects us to be sharp. So what are the characteristics of God's battle axe? It must be sharp. We've already established that. But I asked you this morning, what sharpens God's battle axe? What sharpens you as a child of God? It is this. This is what sharpens you. The Word of God. We need to spend time with this tool in order to be this tool. This tool cannot be strong. It cannot be sharp. It will be dull and ineffective if we do not spend time with this tool. It's the Word of God. And when the Word of God is rich in you, you will be a sharp axe. The Word of God can chop into pieces anything it lands on. This baby is heavy. And I want to tell you, it went through the biggest bone in a deer in one swift movement. It will go through the biggest evil being in the universe. We call him Satan, with one swift move. With the Word of God, you can bring into captivity anything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. In Hebrew, it talks about, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So God's battle axe must be strong. An axe must not get rusted. If it does, it will be dull. If it's dull and blunt, it will not be able to chop anything. It is the same for Christians. Rust in the life of a Christian comes in many ways. How do we prevent rust in a tool today? Well, there's lots of things. I like to use WD-40 when I mount my tool shed. Works really, really good. This is WD-40. This will prevent rust in a Christian's life. This is what it's about. Galatians 6, it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. In Joel it says, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weakling say, I am strong. I am strong because of this tool. In Luke it says, when a strong man fully armed guards his own house, his possessions are safe. In 1 Corinthians, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous and be strong. In Ephesians, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So there's one other element here. A battle axe has to go through fire. Whoever made this started out with a piece of iron and heated it and formed it into this shape. Because this particular shape served the purpose best for what it was being created for. If you become God's battle axe, passing through the fire becomes non-negotiable. Passing through the fire might not be pleasant, but it makes a better Christian. If we never get to the fire, we do not have the ability to be the best battle axe of God that we possibly can be. So what are the fires? The fires today are trials and temptations and hardship. We have all been up to the fire, and we have all been through the fire, walking tenderly with our battle axe in hand. First Peter says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on to you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Now the battle axe must be powerful. A person could be a battle axe and then become blunt. Or he or she could be rendered invalid if he or she is not careful. We need to be strong. We need to be powerful. And we can do this with this. This is our Planet Fitness. This is our exercise room. This is our, what's that gizmo you walk on?
Treadmill.
Or bicycle. You can see I'm really familiar with this stuff, right? In Acts it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In Romans it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And I'll add one more word to that sentence, and that's Satan. So what does God want you to be? Why does God want you to be a battle axe? Well, he wants us to break up nations into pieces. We're really in trouble today in our world. There are many people out there talking, we're on the brink of a disastrous war. And if the battle axes of God don't step up and influence the leaders of these worlds, that is exactly what's going to happen. If we don't pray as we did this morning and ask God to intervene and influence and direct the thoughts and the actions of our world leaders, that is exactly what's going to happen. And we are not going to be able to stop it because we will be a dull and rusty battle axe. Being God's battle axe takes more than going to church. Just coming here one Sunday or one day a week isn't enough. It's good. It's required. We must do it. But like so many people that call themselves Christians today, think they're good to go, if they come and spend 1 hour worshiping Christ and complain to the preacher if he's over. And we're going to be over today because we still got to do communion. And that's because I just got too carried away. Spiritual welfare is a living reality in the life of every believer. Psalm 149 says, "Let this faithful people rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouth and a double-edged sword in their hands to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the people, to bind their kings with fetters, their nomos with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his faithful people. Praise be to the Lord." Hear that? The trumpet sounding. Oh, this is not the second coming. But the trumpet is sounding today. It is calling the army of God to arise. We are being challenged to make ourselves ready for war, to liberate the nations with the powerful message of the kingdom of God. We're not armed with the natural weapons of war. God is not asking us to go out and destroy physically people with a bloody axe, but we are armed with the spiritual weapons of peace and prayer and proclamation. We do not fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness. There is a violent encounter taking place between heaven and hell right here on earth, and we are God's battle axe. We are God's weapons of war. Thank you. This earth is the Lord's. Our citizenship and our government is not of this world, and our mission is to bring the rulership of heaven to earth. God give us these words to say. Lord, let your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. So we come to the table this morning. You are invited. Our table, through the United Methodist tradition and through the words of Christ, is open to all. If you're not a member here or a regular attendee, you're still welcome to come to this table. I invite you to this table.